From ancient mythology to modern public safety tools, symbols of horrific history, to objects of pleasure, these restraints have been used for centuries. Today, we will provide the captivating details on one of the world's oldest wearable locks.
I'm Tyler J. Thomas.
I'm Jeff Moss.
And I'm Tim Coleman. With decades of combined locksmithing and door hardware experience, we will bring our unique perspective to this story. This is the Three Tumblers. Now, Locked Up, the history of handcuffs. In October of 2011, after several months of protests against perceived unfairness in the financial world, members of the Occupy Wall Street movement are being arrested for blocking roadways, damaging property, and disrupting travel of everyday working citizens. When the protests of these citizens reached a breaking point, NYPD officers moved in to curtail the damage and disruption. Once agitators were identified and isolated, they were taken into custody using a mechanical device that restrains the movement of a suspect and increases safety of both that person and officers alike.
Today, we're recording is May 4th, which for those of us in Northeast Ohio, commemorates a very sad occurrence at Kent State University where four students were killed during a protest of the Vietnam War. I know several people that were there that day, including one family friend who was a photography student who has pictures in the archives. So, and with what's going on in the world right now, there's lots and lots of protesting going on college campuses, public places, etc. There comes a point where it crosses the line from free speech into a criminal act, and getting them out of the area, whether you agree or disagree with that, there's a lot of delays. People have been blocking airport access and highways and things that don't do anything for the cause, but they delay people. They make it so that emergency services and people cannot get in, or utilities are disrupted. So there's a lot of problems that can come with this. You know, everyone has the right to free speech, but when it affects everybody else, there comes a time where law enforcement needs to be able to do their job.
By definition, handcuffs are used to restrict a person's movement by keeping their wrists in close proximity. The restriction of hands means that the person in custody can't easily reach for a hidden weapon or discard evidence while being transported. Keeping a person's hands restrained means that they have limited reach for objects. Once those hands are restrained, typically behind their back, then they can't reach for items easily that they may have concealed on themselves. Also, handcuffs have a strange psychological effect on people. Once you get a handcuff on somebody, they can still fight. They still want to get away from that. They still feel as though they have a chance to escape what's going to happen to them. But once you get both handcuffs on them, it's like an immediate calming effect. With 15 years of law enforcement experience, I have seen this time and time again. And while handcuffs may seem to be cruel or unusual, they're really not, because they provide safety both to the officers effecting the arrest and also to the person being detained. Because then that person is secured. Their threat level has been brought down, and the officers don't have to use force. Modern-style handcuffs have a ratcheting design that lets officials adjust the size of the cuffs as needed, without any special tools or knowledge. These restraints use a ratcheting mechanism that allows cuffs to only move in one direction, unless that locking mechanism is released by a key.
I think most people listening to this podcast have seen an episode of Cops or On Patrol, formerly Live PD, and you've probably seen a cop apply handcuffs at least a time or two on there. So you're pretty much familiar with the basic concept already, but I'll go ahead and explain it a little bit further. On each cuff, they have what they call a double strand and a single strand. The single strand pivots off the double strand and is the moving part you see when that cop's applying the cuffs to someone. So you get somebody's wrist against the double strand. The single strand is pivoted around the wrist where it enters the paw area of the cuffs, and the teeth on the single strand start hitting that ratcheting mechanism. And that's the clicking noise you're hearing when the cuffs are being tightened. The teeth on the single strand are oriented in a way that only allows them to move forward, not backwards. So they can't move in reverse. And here's where the handcuff key comes into play. That handcuff key disengages the ratcheting mechanism from the teeth on the single strand. And that then allows the single strand to be pivoted back out.
Over 5,000 years ago, Proteus, the ancient Greek god of the sea, is said to be able to tell the future, but only if he is captured. In mythology, other gods were able to bind his hands to keep Proteus in submission and prevent him from changing to his original form. If the gods can be held captive by binding their hands together, what mortal man could possibly escape the same? Back in the times of ancient Greece and Roman Empire, mythology was a huge driver of society. People believed in the gods, people believed in their mythology, and that belief is what drove their everyday behaviors. So to see a god like Proteus, who was the god of the sea, who could change form, restrained by having his wrists bound together and essentially being overpowered by other gods, that was a huge symbolic gesture towards the citizens of ancient Greece. I mean, after all, if one of the most powerful gods in existence of that day could be brought to his knees simply by having his hands tied together, that discouraged a lot of people from doing bad things. In the thousands of years following the time of the Greek gods, manacles, shackles, fetters, irons, and cuffs were combined to restrict a person's movement and their hopes of freedom. During the 1700s, this trend reached a low point when it was used to restrain slaves being transported by ship from Africa to the New World. Rough bands of iron were fastened and locked around their wrists and ankles, then bound to heavy chains for the months-long voyage across the sea.
You know, obviously slavery was a very bad chapter of our history with our country, other countries. You know, the chains and handcuffs and things used back then were very rough materials. You know, I don't know if they were hand forged. There was no mass production back then. So, you know, it was probably a blacksmith or somebody making stuff and, you know, caused a lot of wounds. They were not designed really with any safety or comfort in mind.
In the 1850s, the Hyatt Handcuff Company began releasing adjustable handcuffs in America. Just as today, people back then came in all different sizes, and authorities couldn't use a one-size-fits-all solution. Over the decades, various inventors created different designs that eventually led up to the modern-day version we are familiar with. One of the most innovative design changes that is considered to be a standard with law enforcement today was the double locking mechanism.
Again, going back to cops are on patrol, a lot of times you'll notice the cop using either a key or a tool of sorts to do something after the cuffs have been applied to a person. What they're doing is setting the double lock feature on handcuffs. The double lock essentially locks the ratcheting mechanism in place. And you want this so that if a suspect is moving around, you don't want the cuffs to inadvertently get tighter and then cut off their circulation or cause extreme discomfort. So that's the purpose, and that's what you're seeing. Going back to modern handcuff design, adjustable cuffs made things easier for everybody, including the people being handcuffed. You know, previous handcuff designs were heavy, they were bulky, extremely uncomfortable, and were downright awkward to use most of the time. So adjustable handcuffs help with, you know, not only those being restrained, their comfort, but also officer safety. If you watch any video of a cop applying adjustable handcuffs in the real world, you'll notice that they usually only need one hand to apply the handcuff to each wrist, which allows them to maintain control of the wrist or wrists with the other hand. So if you've got a combative person, you don't want to have a handcuff design that takes two hands to apply, because, you know, that other arm, you know, whatever, they can fight against that. So this adjustable handcuff design is definitely helping.
With the modern handcuff design in use for over 80 years, social movements in the 1960s saw a need for police officers to have the ability to restrain multiple people at a time when protests would get out of hand. Being able to control large numbers of people at a time required a solution that was not only lightweight, but also allowed officers to carry multiple sets at a time. Protests of the 1960s, 70s, 80s, all the way up to today, when they turn bad, again, people have the right to protest in this country. And when they cross the line and start becoming mobs of illegal activity, then law enforcement has to step in to protect bystanders and property. When you do that as a law enforcement officer, your key goal is to target the people who are driving the crowd. Mob mentality is very complex, but it results in a very basic behavior. So when you remove the people who are driving that behavior from the scene, everybody else seems to dissipate. They lose their purpose. And so when law enforcement goes in to remove those agitators, they want to do it quickly. And obviously there are probably more than one in the crowd, and you need to be able to restrain them and transport them safely away from the scene. Using multiple sets of handcuffs, which I carried handcuffs for a number of years, you know, 15 years of law enforcement service, and handcuffs take up weight. Not much, but just enough that you notice when they're not there. So if you can carry multiple restraining devices at a time and not have the added bulk or weight, it's a real time saver. Plus, they are easy to access, they are easy to apply, and it allows you to get these people away from the scene and into custody, and then the situation can diffuse. Plastic handcuffs are also considered to be more sanitary than traditional cuffs, since they are designed to only be used once. While early brands had to be cut off when removing them from the person's wrists, later versions use a standard handcuff key to release them. Even then, the device is usually thrown away.
Yeah, and you know, plastic cuffs are really just a throwaway lock. There's other things similar, tamper seals, things that are used on shipping containers, you know, mail bags or packages of money, you know, just so that you can see if something has been tampered with. They're not, you know, designed as the only security measure. You got an armed guard, you have somebody there escorting the items or the money. But the, you know, plastic riot type handcuffs that you see, you know, are basically a big zip tie with two sections in them.
While most of us know handcuffs as being a tool of law enforcement, other people see them as tools of love. From the streets to the sheets, restraints have had their place in some bedrooms as far back as the days of Pompeii and ancient Greece.
When it comes to romance, love locks aren't the only locks that can be incorporated, I guess. Variety is the spice of life, they say, and it turns out, according to a Daily Star report, 69% of people have tied up a partner during lovemaking, and of those, 52% have used handcuffs to do it. And there are a number of reasons why people involve restraints in the bedroom, and it is way beyond the scope of this podcast or my knowledge, but suffice to say, it's pretty common. I worked with a locksmith that had to respond to a lockout call one night for one of these tools of love. And the best piece of advice I can give is to make sure that you have two sets of keys and make sure one of them is far away from the field of play. And make sure you set the double lock too.
ropes, chains, straps, and even plastic food wrap are all commonly used by partners who enjoy physical restraint during intimacy. But handcuffs are by far one of the most easily used and accessible instruments, allowing couples to explore each other's desires without a lot of mess. Handcuffs are quick and easy to put on and take off. I mean, we do it every day as police officers. They're something that you can keep within easy reach, and you take them out and apply them as needed, and you can also release them fairly quickly. Handcuffs are also safe because of the psychological effect. People do calm down no matter what the situation is. They provide, again, that interesting calming effect on people. Also, they're safe from the perspective of having a standardized key. So if that key gets lost during rompous activities, then you are able to get yourself out of a potentially sticky situation. While metal chain link handcuffs are still commonly used, a variety of other materials are on the market. Leather wrist cuffs designed to accept a padlock are common amongst more hardcore practitioners. Lightweight chains designed to be affixed to bedposts are also available, with locks that all take the same key, for safety reasons. But it is the ultra furry, ultra fluffy handcuffs that are most popular, and they're available for about $20. Whether you're a good cop or a bad cop, the perfect pair of cuffs exists for you and your partner.
Apparently, I know nothing about this, but fuzzy handcuffs have quick releases that are not found on police cuffs for obvious reasons. They're also available in many different colors. Again, I don't know about that, but I do know there was a pair of pink handcuffs that were in our shop for several years that were left by a customer, and one day I asked what they were doing there, and my now former coworker said that somebody had left them, brought them in, they needed to be fixed, they quote-unquote belonged to a friend and had sentimental value. So one day I put on some rubber gloves and threw them directly in the trash. They had been there long enough, and they were definitely pink handcuffs, which I have seen some female police officers carry, so I don't know if they were standard issue or adult bookstore purchased, but either way, you never know.
While handcuffs can definitely be used for fun, their main purpose has always been to restrict the movements of criminals. But advances in technology aim to make their use more efficient. Some handcuffs are now being equipped with tracking tags that use crowdsourced Bluetooth and Wi-Fi to track their location, should a suspect run while wearing them. Others can trigger an officer's body-worn camera when opened.
In addition to that, some companies have handcuffs that incorporate diagnostic features, things like tracking a detainee's heart rate or blood pressure. I've also seen a few handcuffs that incorporate sort of a shock collar, as well as proximity monitors. You know, getting too close to a place you shouldn't be, you get a warning. Getting too close to someone you shouldn't be near, you get a warning. I've even heard of handcuff patents that offer the ability to administer drugs or sedatives via injections. If I had to guess, though, GPS real-time tracking will likely be a standard thing in the not-too-distant future, especially for things like prisoner transports or work details. I don't see patrol cops needing that sort of stuff anytime soon, but who knows? If the technology becomes solid and affordable, you know, spending an extra $100, $200 on a pair of handcuffs may be, you know, may warrant that investment.
Some manufacturers of handcuffs are looking to design restraints that are made of materials to reduce the chance of neuropathy or other injuries associated with prolonged use. Even biodegradable options for disposable cuffs are being explored.
Yeah, and you know, maybe there will be more comfortable handcuffs for people that are detained for longer periods of time, and you know, with plastics and things like that, things can be made more environmentally friendly. You know, they can recycle materials to make the disposable handcuffs and things like that.
No matter the technology or material they're made of, handcuffs will always be the tool of choice when it comes to keeping you safe. Executive producer is Tyler J. Thomas. Technical producer is Jeff Moss. Writer and editor is Tim Coleman.
Find additional resources and source materials on our website, 3tumblers.com.
This has been the 3 Tumblers production, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.